My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, we're dialed back in. It's hour number two. Snuck up on me.
It did. Yeah. I love it when it sneaks up on you like that.
I don't. It's... Go ahead, sorry.
Like your moments. You're like, oh, we're on. We're back.
Like, ah! Yeah.
Spectacular.
We're taking the afternoon, then we'll hand off to D'Lo and KC. They will be reacting to all the latest in the NBA trade deadline. Let's talk about the West real quick. So you have the Sacramento Kings, who are now the number 7 seed. They are half a game back of the Phoenix Suns and New Orleans Pelicans, who are 6-5 respectively.
Okay.
And then the Dallas Mavericks are a game and a half behind Sacramento. I'm going to leave the Lakers out of it for now because they're not only 3 games back, but I think that if they don't make any moves, I don't think they're that big of a threat. So we'll stick with these 8. You have the Dallas Mavericks. They have acquired Daniel Gafford from the Washington Wizards for Rashawn Holmes and draft picks. And they also got PJ Washington from Charlotte in exchange for Grant Williams and Seth Curry.
And a first-round pick.
Lightly protected, I think I saw. Lightly protected first-round pick.
Yeah, 2027 lightly protected first-round pick. And it's funny because someone also chimed in and said, hey, Dallas has traded a first-round pick in 2 different deals, and they don't have any first-round. They only had 1 first-round pick to trade. So, I don't know. They're magical. They're doing some tomfoolery.
So you have Dallas aiming to improve their roster. How much they improve, TBD. The Phoenix Suns, I can't even keep track of everything the Suns have done today.
Yeah, because they've added in this little like asterisk. The Suns also, in their trading, they added 3 minimum contract guys that are going somewhere out into space, which is Chimezi Metu and like 2 other dudes. I lost the tweet. But yeah, like half of their roster is going to be gone. So all those people out there are talking about how good their second unit was going to be. It didn't look good in the beginning, and it doesn't look any better. Well, I mean, it might look better after today, but all those guys that they went out and got are now gone.
Kita Bates-Jop, Jordan Goodwin, and Chimezi Metu, all to Memphis, as well as Yuta Watanabe. Meanwhile, the Suns have acquired David Roddy from Memphis and Royce O'Neal from the Nets.
Yeah.
So again, this is not, and then the Kings have not made any moves yet. This isn't to say that, oh, and then Oklahoma City, they acquired Gordon Hayward in exchange for Trey Mann, Davis Bertans, and Vasilije Micic.
Yeah.
Did I get it right? Vasilije Micic?
Vasilije Micic.
Those 3, Mann, Bertans, and Micic, went to Charlotte in exchange for Gordon Hayward. So Gordon Hayward is now with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Seems like Oklahoma City got a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's kind of the crux of what I want to get to. So I'm happy you said that. Because I don't think anybody's asking the Kings to go move heaven and earth to get a superstar here. And it's not like all those names I mentioned are pretty peripheral. Like who's the best player who I just mentioned in all those names? Royce O'Neal? PJ Washington?
Yeah, probably PJ.
Hey, PJ Washington. So, but PJ Washington's like a fine player. Not great. But
yeah,
okay.
I mean, I think he would look good in a Kings uniform for sure. But.
I totally agree with you. And that's kind of the problem, is none of these are earth-shattering moves. Like, I don't think all of a sudden the Suns are going to win a title now because of these moves. Like, if they were going to win a title, it was going to be because of Kevin Durant and Devin mm-hmm. Booker and Bradley Beal. And same thing with the Mavericks. It's going to be on Luka. It's going to be on Kyrie. But they tweak their rosters these, like, little bits.
They're trying to get better right now.
Yeah, and with the Kings... I sat here, might have been yesterday, and I went, I get what they're doing. If they don't make a move, they're riding this out and then seeing, you know, evaluating really what they have going into the summer, and then they'll make these big changes in the summer. But that was before they went and lost to the 6-win Pistons and looked as lethargic as they did again in yet another game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really tough to justify... And the other reason I said that yesterday was because the premise of the entire thing was, hey, maybe nobody gets dealt and maybe no trades happen. And now we have this flurry of them, and you have all the Kings around, or all the teams around the Kings getting better, and you have the Kings just kind of standing pat. And that's, again, it's not the end of the world. It's not, oh my God, fire somebody. It's not that. But it is a little bit disappointing that this is kind of where they sit, and it appears they're going the wrong way while the teams around them aim to get better.
Yeah, they've got 52 minutes to make some sort of move, and at this point, I'm not convinced that they're, like, again, I've heard zero, 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 nothing for the last 48 hours, even before that, like the last 2 weeks has been super, super quiet. And that's not to say these guys haven't been working, but like I think what we'll get to the end is postmortems on trade deadlines are always the worst, because like, hey, the Kings were bidders for, you know, like last year, Matisse Thybul, right? They were bidders for player X. And then you go and look what they got for those players, and you're like, okay, wait a sec. You have those second round picks. You have those pieces that you could have given up. Sometimes there are trades where you just like, look, the Kings don't have a Grant Williams and a Seth Curry and a first round pick to give up, or they might not, to get a guy like PJ Washington, and PJ Washington might not be worth that either. But at the same time, you got to figure out ways to get better. And I think right now the Kings have to figure out ways to get better, and you're not going to get better on the buyout market, because the buyout market's never been kind to the Sacramento Kings. No one's just lining up to jump in on the buyout market. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's tough.
When you have teams like Philadelphia making moves just so they can be active in the buyout market, that to me doesn't paint a great picture for the Kings. And honestly, the buyout market is great when you're going, you know what, I need a better eighth player.
Yeah.
If you're going to the buyout market to make the change the Kings, I think, need to make.
No.
I don't think it's happening.
No one is waving a 6'8", 3-and-D wing that shoots 40% from three. Kyle, I don't care who they are. They're not waving that guy. It's just, it's not happening.
The other thing that I justified the take with yesterday that the Kings maybe didn't is because, hey, you start to see some more life from Keegan Murray. You're starting to see these strides. And then last night, you see nothing from Keegan Murray.
Well, that, and in his last five games, he scored 5 points, 5 points, 33 points, 5 points, 10 points, and 0 points. Oh. That's what his last five games looks like. And look, he's okay to go through a slump.
No doubt.
It is what it is, but...
No doubt, but the idea that, hey, you know what, you're going to start consistently getting 15 to 25 a night from Keegan Murray...
Yeah.
That's just not happening.
Yeah.
At least not this year, not as expeditiously as the Kings might want.
Daniel House is being bought out of his contract, so he will be on the buyout market. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's the 6'6" shooting, you know, defensive minded guy, but not really. He does have ties to Monty McNair from their time in Houston. But yeah, you got to figure out a way, man. Figure out a way to get better. And you can't just say, hey, coach, I need you to get better. Like, you can't, in the middle of a season, it's really, really tough to just flat out get better. And Chris Duarte rolled his ankle bad yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might have a grade one sprain, which would keep him out a week or two. He might have a grade two that would keep him out a month. Mm-hmm. He might have a grade three that would keep him out 8 to 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so not only did you not, are you not adding as of right now with 48 minutes and 5 seconds left, but you may have also lost one of the pieces that could somehow magically help you, whether he can or not. I don't know. You might have lost him for an extended period of time.
Yeah, the cards available for Mike Brown to play are, I don't want to say inadequate because that sounds really harsh, but inadequate for where this team wants to go the rest of the way, I think.
Inadequate for a team that had lofty goals of not only, you know, potentially playing for a championship, but being in the top, you know, in the top four of the Western Conference.
Well, we talked about it. I mean, dude, we talked about it this offseason. Like, if you're going to be the team you were last year, if you're going to stay lateral, if you're going to win 48 games, you might wind up in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
If 48 got you the 3 seed last year, that was an anomaly.
No, totally.
And they've not, to this point, they're literally the exact same record.
Yeah.
And lo and behold.
Hey, the exact same record, but remember, they really, really came out of the second half and played well.
Yeah.
Like the last 28 games of the season, they played really well.
Yeah.
There is nothing that's telling me that this team is going to be able to do what the team last year did.
And maybe it's the All-Star break. Maybe they get some days off and everybody is rejuvenating and get some time. But I just that is wishful thinking.
Yep.
Right now, it's not good enough. And it doesn't appear a move is on the horizon. But if it is, we'll tell you about it here on ESPN 1320. Trade deadline coming up at noon. We'll have the latest for you in our final segment. Let's talk some football real quick because it is Super Bowl week. Can't forget about that. We will talk some 49ers Chiefs and the funny thing that's happening at Media Day from both teams. I'm really, really enjoying tracking this, and I think you will too. Stay locked in. ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We are locked in. NBA trade deadline. Kings lost to the Pistons. Super Bowl week? We'll talk a ton of Super Bowl tomorrow. James has a confused look on his face.
No, I'm excited about Super Bowl week.
I thought, this close to the trade deadline?
Yeah.
41 minutes now on the dot? And you did the furrowed brow at your computer, I thought something went down.
No. Okay. It's been quiet. It's been quiet. Although
A little too quiet.
Maybe the Kings are just waiting for Chimezie Metu to be bought out by the Memphis Grizzlies so they can just put a waiver claim in on him. Maybe that's why they lost to Detroit last night, because they knew that it would drop them below a certain team that may or may not want Chimezie Metu. And this was all part of a greater scheme to get, they saw this coming. They saw Metu going to Memphis, getting waived, and being able to acquire him via the waiver market.
Monty has done it again.
This is some, like, four-dimensional.
Run him his executive of the year right now.
Four-dimensional chess going on right here.
TC and Sack, what's up, bro?
Kyle, Ham, what's going on?
What's up, man? What do you got?
Hey, I just want to tap in on a whole Malik Monk situation. I probably feel different than everybody else, but I'm probably in the same boat. As far as, like, we can't be madder than you guys. You get what I'm saying? Like, I feel him coming up there talking about, oh, man, the fan base, you know, I wasn't feeling that about booing. Well, man, I mean, what do you expect, bro? You guys dropping a game to Detroit that you guys should have won, and you guys keep coming up to these press conferences acting super nonchalant, like nothing is happening, everything's going to be all right, and all that. I know we're out of 16-year playoff drought, bro, but it's expectations for this team, bro. You guys should be better than that. Like, we shouldn't be dropping games to Detroit and then guys coming up here when the fans do boo. Like, it wasn't all game. It was like at the end of the game, we're like, okay, we got a shot to win. And then when you guys lay an egg like that, it's like, boo, man, this sucks, bro. Why aren't you guys caring more than we care? You get me?
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, TC. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that's one. So Malik Monk last night basically said, and again, with some expletives, like, I don't like that the fans boo. We're out here busting our asses.
He says, I play too hard to get booed.
Nobody, but that's the thing, is nobody's booing Malik Monk specifically.
No.
It is everything that is going on. And if you're, if, so here's my thing with booing. Players aren't supposed to like it. That's the point.
No, that's very true.
Like that, and I understand that players risking life and limb on the court, they dedicate their entire lives to doing this to entertain fan. I get it. It is appreciated and understood, and that it takes a level of physical and mental skill and toughness that I do not possess to reach the level that they've reached. They are better at basketball. The worst NBA player is better at basketball than I will ever be at anything. I understand that. But when you're a fan of a team who wants to see that team win, and you want to see that team play well, and it is your first game home in 2 weeks, and everybody's fired up to face the worst team in the league, and the worst team in the league is better than the home team?
Yeah.
There's going to be an adverse reaction to that.
I'm going to add another element to this, which I think people probably miss. The Sacramento Kings have outpriced so many of their fans. They have, for a family of four to go to a Kings game, you're talking $700-$800. When you talk food and you talk parking and the ticket prices. Then you get to a game like Detroit, where season ticket holders have made a ton of money off their tickets on the secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, man, this is a Wednesday night against the worst team in the league. I can't give away these tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But they can. And they do. They give away those tickets or they sell those tickets for very cheap. And a lot of times, it's the fan that can't get into a normal game that gets to go to a Detroit Pistons game because either someone gave them a ticket or they were affordable, or the Kings sent out a thing saying, I can get you in the upper bowl for $25 tonight. And Kings fans that can't afford to go to games are like, oh man, I can finally go to a game. It's cheap for once.
Yeah.
So you might, in fact, in a game like Detroit, get more authentic, real fans, passionate fans, fans that don't spend $30,000 a year on their season tickets showing up to a game like that. And that might be why you hear things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. And frankly, it takes a lot for me to be like, oh, this team should get booed.
Yeah. But
last night, as it was happening, this is probably about right. Down 7 at the half to this. Like, oof.
Yeah. Tough.
So they need to play better. And there is no team, there is no fan base that will support their team like Kings fans. And they will express their joy and their excitement about what the Kings are doing, just like they will express their displeasure.
Yep.
This is not New York, bro. This is not Philly, where you miss a couple of shots and the boos are coming down. Like, this is not that.
No.
This last night, the boos were a collective displeasure with how many games have gone just like that this season. And I think, based on the chatty house and based on what I see on Twitter, that there were a lot of people going into last night like, yeah, hey, kind of expecting this. And then when that happens, oof.
Mm.
Yikes, man.
I don't know, man. Kevin Herter guy, he was fully dressed in his Kevin Herter regalia.
If you are the guy that dresses up as Kevin Herter to go to Kings games, if you know that person, if you are that person, props. You get all of my props.
He goes all in.
He's got the shorts, he's got the jersey,
he's got the leggings underneath.
Does he go leggings?
Oh, he has black leggings underneath.
My favorite part of the bit is he doesn't even look like Kevin Herter. He doesn't resemble Kevin Herter outside of being gangly, pasty, and reddish hair. Like, Kevin Herter's hair is like red. Your hair is red-ish.
No, I'm strawberry blonde.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a red. You're not like a redhead, though.
No.
This guy, the Kevin Herter guy at Kings Games, is like you. Like strawberry blonde.
Yeah.
Like red-ish.
Yeah, shout out. And my brother's 50th birthday today. Shout out to my brother. Hey. He actually is a more red. And then one of his daughters is a like full redhead. But me and my sister, strawberry blonde.
Yeah, you don't resemble Kevin Herter, and neither does that guy. But he leans into the bit because like, it's close enough. And he's there. He's holding up his threes. He's pointing at people. He's cheering. He's into it. And that was not just last night. That is almost every game I've ever been to. And speaking of which, I'm not finishing any more games when I go.
Ugh.
I have never seen a beam lighting at Golden One Center. Never.
Are you going to go outside and like go to a restaurant or something or just hang out and wait to see if a beam happens?
It's TBD. Maybe I go home. If I have plans to stay up here, maybe I'll just go where I'm going.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know if I have to leave Doko. Like, we'll have to test it.
We might need to test
this
theory.
If I can jump across to Punch Bowl or to Echo and Rig or whatever.
Polanco.
To grab a drink. Wherever wants to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a Jamba Juice shout out. I didn't have time to go today, but I don't know if I have to leave Doko. I'm going to have to really test this out and see what happens. But yeah, I've never been in the building for a beam lighting. Never once.
That's wild.
But I leave at halftime.
Every time they win?
Every time.
Mm.
Got it. Listen on the way home. Get home. Watch the end, whatever it is. Kings W. Light the beam. It's like, God, I just want to see it. Just once. Just
amazing.
Once.
Amazing.
Brutal, dude. Last night, I made plans. I stayed out here. I was like, I'm staying the whole game. It's the Pistons. Come on.
We got to like the mid-fourth quarter. I look over. Your eyes were so red, and you were like staring. I'm like, oh, Kyle is not going to
make it. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Kyle is not going to make it through this game. Come on, Kyle. You can do it.
And then I've got Kings PR. Shout out to our guy, Michael, pulling up and going like, dude, it's your fault.
It's your fault.
No.
It's your
guy, man. You got it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Next time I go, I'll make sure. Just put me down for the first half.
That's right.
I'm out of here at halftime.
I'm going to kick him. I'll make sure he leaves people.
Yeah.
I'll usher him to the door.
I think the first thing I'm going to try is I'm going to try and sneak up like to the draft house, like take my credential off and then just stand and watch.
Oh.
But not be in my seat. If that doesn't work, then I'll try leaving and staying in Doko. If that doesn't work, I just got to leave downtown, I guess.
I don't know. You go up to Doko. You go up to the brew house. You might get a beer or two bought for you by some of the locals. Huh? Just saying.
Let's keep my credential on, though.
You are Kyle Madison of the Insiders.
I either get a beer or a punch in the face.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Is John Bull going to be there? Is that what you're saying?
No, because then I'll be doing the swinging, let me tell you. No. So I apologize if anybody sincerely believes that it was my fault. Sorry. I'll wear this one. Should have told Mike Brown last night. Mike,
that.
You know what? You're talking about the three-point defense. It's on me over here.
It's on me. Not you. It's me.
We got Super Bowl stuff to actually talk about for real. Also, NFL honors tonight. Are the Niners going to win any awards? And is Patrick Willis going to get into the damn Football Hall of Fame? We'll take a guess next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Oh my God.
That's wild.
Oh, wait till you see it. I need to
wait until it drops.
Yeah. How can I say this vaguely? It's basically the thing you said yesterday. About that team.
Okay.
For that. Wild. Anyways, sorry guys, I can't, 25 minutes until the trade deadline, and it's likely you'll see what I'm talking about here shortly. Maybe.
Well, we have the Damian Barling coming in studio. I don't know if he's going to come on now and hang out with us, or he's just getting ready.
I think he's probably just getting ready.
He's just getting ready.
Oh, he stays ready in that cardigan. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, look at that.
Oh. A plus on the fit today for Damian. Okay, couple Super Bowl related things. Once Damian gets back in, we'll dive back into whatever the hell happened to the Kings last night. Couple of things. One, the funniest thing that's happening during Super Bowl media week.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what this is. Every player talks every day, and there's these massive media scrums, and it's any podcaster, blogger, media outlet. There's some outlets I've heard in the Bay Area and in Sacramento sending like 6 and 8 people down to the Super Bowl. It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of questions get asked of these players. My favorite thing so far has been watching the 49ers and Chiefs go above and beyond, way out of their ways to not say anything inflammatory about the other team. No bulletin board material is being put up whatsoever.
No.
Nick Bosa got asked a couple weeks ago about the Chiefs' tackles, offensive tackles, and he was like, oh, they hold a lot. So, oh, here we go. This is going to be spicy. So, Niners beat writers on media day go to the Chiefs' offensive lineman, and they're like, hey, Nick Bosa said this. What do you think? And, like, one of the offensive linemen is like, hey, maybe he's onto something. Like, just everybody's being overtly nice as to not ruffle feathers on the other team. And it's been enjoyable to watch those things happen. Chris Jones, it's asked about the Niners offense, and he's like, it's the best offense I've ever seen. And somebody's like, well, better than the Chiefs offenses you've had the last few years? He's like, yep.
Mm.
He's like, players, coaches, organization, everything. It's our toughest test yet. Jeez, man.
Yeah. No, I think it's really interesting, because what you don't want to be is the guy who starts it, right? Unless you do. Unless you want to be that team, like, oh, no, we're going to win this game. Yeah, we're all in. No, we're the best team. We're going out. But then you'll be that guy after the game if you lose. You'll be the guy that's on the wrong side of history. So,
man,
I love it.
Also, Matt Rhule, the former Panthers coach, who's now the coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, in a press conference yesterday, was like, you know, I wanted to put Brock Purdy on the draft board, but I got vetoed.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, guy.
Kyle, there's, I also heard that you had him on the top of your draft board.
Yeah, he's number five. I didn't my number five ranked player that
number
year.
Number five overall, you had him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. If only teams would listen to me. No, so there's two funny things about that. One, either Matt Rhule's lying out of his ass, right?
He is.
They brought in Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. None of it worked out. Teddy Bridgewater has since retired. Sam Darnold's now the backup trying to revive his career with the 49ers. Also, Sam Darnold played his best football under Steve Wilkes after Matt Rhule was gone, but that's a separate thing. And then Baker Mayfield, who looked like a disaster and ended up leaving Carolina, is now in Tampa Bay, taking Tampa Bay to the playoffs and winning a playoff game. Mm. It's like, Matt Rhule, you're the problem, dog. So even if you wanted Brock Purdy, if that's actually true, he wasn't going to help you. But here's the other aspect of this. Matt Rhule's an offensive coach. That's his bag. He had this great offensive Baylor. That's what got him into the NFL. If you went into that draft and you were the offensive head coach of the team and you're in the sixth, seventh round and you're going, hey, I really like this quarterback from Iowa State. We need to get this guy in our building. I want to draft him. And you're getting vetoed? That's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, he's fired after week five.
Mm.
So, anyways.
Well, if he only had Brock Purdy,
yeah, I think
history
maybe.
Would have been totally different.
Maybe.
Kyle.
Maybe.
Everything would have been
that
different.
Panthers team sucked. Brock Purdy would have stunk on the Panthers. Bryce Young stinks on the Panthers.
Well,
Bryce Young is a number one overall pick.
Yeah, but how tall is Bryce Young?
Not much taller than, or not much shorter than Brock Purdy.
Mm.
Tell you that much. NFL honors tonight. I think the 49ers are going to win one award.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy's up for MVP. I don't think he's winning it.
I don't think so.
Christian McCaffrey also up for MVP.
Mm.
I don't think he's winning it. Kyle Shanahan up for Coach of the Year. I don't think he's winning that.
Nope.
And Christian McCaffrey is up for Offensive Player of the Year. I think he's going to win that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's become the like non-quarterback MVP award. Is ostensibly what Offensive Player of the Year is now. And I don't think there's, given how Tyreek Hill's season ended with the ankle stuff and he wasn't as productive, I think it's pretty clear that Christian McCaffrey is going to be the OPOY.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And then we need to get Patrick Willis in the Hall of Fame, bro.
He does need to be in the Hall of Fame.
Like what? He played 8 years.
He's not in because of longevity. That's the only reason he's not in. And I get it. And I think because, I mean, he walked away. What did he have? What kind of injury did he have?
Toe.
A toe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think...
Feet in general.
Yeah, like most people were so stunned when he walked away. Mm-hmm. They thought he probably could have gone for another like 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm.
He was on Candlestick Chronicles and we asked him like, hey, you retired after 2014. Did you think you had football left? And he's like, I definitely had football left, but my feet were so bad, were in such bad shape, I wasn't going to be able to walk right the rest of my life if I kept playing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to prioritize my next, 50 years over my next 3.
Yeah.
Like, dang.
No, that's
dang,
tough,
I respect
man.
It, man. I definitely respect it. So he played just 8 years. I figured he wouldn't be in on the first ballot, A, because it's really hard to get in on the first ballot in the NFL. It's because there's just this backlog of dudes who have to get in. And so,
yes.
So 5 years is long enough, I think. He played 8 seasons. He was a 7-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first team All Pro, Defensive Rookie of the Year, a second team All Pro was in there. He was on the Hall of Fame's All Decade team for the 2010s. Like he's the best off ball linebacker in the sport when he was in it.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Yeah. So I'm
really hoping he makes it.
I'm manifesting that he gets in.
Okay.
I've pre-written it at Niners Wire.
You've already pre-written it.
I've pre-written it.
Okay.
That's
good for you. Well, you should. But did you pre-write all of them just in case?
All the awards?
Yeah.
No, I only pre-wrote McCaffrey.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if I'm ranking them, I think McCaffrey Offensive Player of the Year for sure, and then probably Shanahan Coach of the Year would be next, and then McCaffrey MVP 3, Purdy MVP last.
Okay.
It's probably my.
I mean, I think my coach of the year is D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. D'Amico Ryans could win it for sure. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Taking, what were they, 11-6 with their quarterback problems? But man, D'Amico, that 1 year turnaround with a rookie quarterback is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So
very, very impressive.
Any trade news here?
No, it's been quiet.
Yeah, quiet.
It's been super quiet. We are 17 minutes and 25 seconds away from the NBA trade deadline.
Shams Charania reports that multiple contenders are expected to pursue Daniel House. And again, that's the kind of name, I think, that when you talk buyout market, and I don't think the Kings are waiting around for the buyout market. I don't think they're sitting here going, hey, instead of giving up something, we'll just wait. And nah, I just don't think a deal is there for their liking. Maybe if Harrison Barnes hadn't started playing so well, maybe if Kevin Herter hadn't found his shot, maybe we would have seen a move by now.
That's why you never count what's happening the weeks before. You have to go out into the deadline and do what you have to do. It's difficult. It doesn't feel good. Like, people's feelings get hurt. But at the end of the day, it's about building a winner. That's what your goal is. If you're a team, and what you can't do is continuously go through NBA trade deadlines where you don't make a move at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have this Sabonis one from, it's now not last year, it's the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they got Kessler Edwards at the deadline. That wasn't enough to move the needle. This year, what are you going to do? And as of right now, they haven't done anything. So, I mean, they're running out of time, and this team needs help, and you should have valued what you had at a certain point, but then said, look, I've got to see what I can do to go make moves.
Well, and that's so I think there's going to be a strong reaction, and you're getting it from me, where that loss last night all of a sudden really highlights a lot of the things that Sacramento needs help with. But it's not like Monty McNair was sitting there going into last night going, okay, I'm not going to make any calls. We're chilling.
Yeah.
And then lose like they did, and then have Monty pick up the phone and go, oh, okay, hang on. All right, trade deadline. Let's go.
Okay, but what I could see last night is that there's like one or two trades that are sitting there that they can make, right?
Sure.
And they've had conversations with ownership and everyone else, and like, okay, these are the three or four things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And after last night's game, Vivek looking at Monty and saying, do this deal now. I want this deal done.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the deal just doesn't work out. Maybe you get beat to the punch, or the guy that you were going to trade for, like, that team is already in negotiations with somebody else now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of reasons why, but for this team to walk out of this trade deadline, this isn't even like last season. Last season, you knew exactly the path that they needed to take in order to, but they were still a really good team on the rise, and you wanted to see it play out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where we are today.
No.
You know, that's not at all where the Spurs are trading Doug McDermott to the Pacers.
Of course they are.
They got their Buddy Hield replacement.
Damian Barling joining
us now.
There
is no replacement for Buddy Hield.
Damian, Doug McDermott to the Pacers, your thoughts?
No, that's big time. Yeah. I mean, that puts them up there with the Celtics and the...
It's been the running,
Cleveland Cavaliers, and well, all kidding aside, I mean, good for the Pacers. They're continuing to try to get better. The Knicks are continuing to try to get better. Like, they might feel like that conference is open, especially with the way that
I totally agree there.
Joe could be, you know, Joel Embiid being out for the season is very realistic, despite the timeline that they're giving us. Good for those Eastern Conference teams for trying to pounce on this opportunity.
Yeah, Boston's a huge question mark in the playoffs. Milwaukee is maybe or maybe not.
Bad vibes in Milwaukee right
really
now.
Really tough. Really, really
bad
tough
vibes in Milwaukee
yeah,
right now.
And the Philadelphia thing.
And I don't know that I would turn to Patrick Beverley when my vibes are bad.
Culture setter.
Yeah, I don't know that I would do that. I don't know that I get Doc likes him, but I don't know that I would do that.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
Yeah. Maybe get Austin Rivers in there too.
I don't know why everyone hates Austin Rivers.
It's
one of the strangest things to me. Like, it feels
like I don't
want to
say I love him, but
the entire league dislikes him. Like, the entire league dislikes him.
You listen to his podcast at all?
No.
His podcast is good. It's called Off Guard.
I've heard that.
He almost decapitated me with a seat cushion one time. So
Do you think that's why there's league wide?
No.
Yeah, that guy almost took out James Hamm. I can't stand that guy.
James Hamm, right. The insiders?
And Sam Amick. It was almost both of us. It was almost a deep.
Sam Amick is a treasure.
Dang, yeah, it was almost a double decapitation right there in the corner.
Man.
It did hit a lady in the face and scratched her corneas and knocked her contacts out. And, like, she was down. The guy behind us ducked. He saw it coming too.
Good
ducked.
For him.
All right. Was able to avoid it. The Atlanta Hawks are keeping guard DeJounte Murray, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Unless someone calls in the next 13 minutes and changes their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, the Hawks, and this has been laid out multiple times, but the Hawks just have a more, are in a better spot if they wait for the offseason to trade DeJounte. And that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think so. And even if you make, like, I don't think that team is going anywhere. Like, they're like a way worse version of the Pacers. Like, they can score a bunch of points, but very literally can't do nothing else. It's a construction. It's a constructed roster that I've hated for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand that team. I didn't understand it. Salute, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know how they did that. I feel like what we're seeing now is far more indicative of who they are as a basketball team than what we saw the year that they were successful.
Let's get to the Kings' moves or lack of moves. I yesterday went, I get why they're not going to do anything, or why I think they're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. They're going to play this out with this roster and go into the offseason knowing what they have. What do they have with Harrison Barnes? What do they have with Kevin Huerter? Hopefully get another look at them in the playoffs and then assess what you want to look like in the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that was before you see every team around them, Dallas, going and making moves.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix, going and making moves.
Yeah.
OKC made a move. Making a move.
Yeah.
You see so many teams in the West going and trying to get better, particularly the two teams right around the Kings, Phoenix and Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They're gunning for that last playoff spot, and the Kings are going, yeah, like, nah, we'll see. We'll see what we got here.
Mm-hmm.
That's disappointing to me.
It is, but it's compounded by the fact they lost to the Detroit Pistons last night.
Yeah.
I think they beat the Pistons last night. I don't think anyone's jumping for joy today. I think the feeling is a little bit different. The vibes are a little bit different. Like, you're 6-2 in your last 8 games, and you feel differently about it, right? You have mm-hmm. a little bit more confidence in Harrison Barnes. You have a little bit more confidence in Kevin Huerter. I love what I saw from Davion Mitchell last night. I've actually liked what I've seen from Davion during the stretch that Mike Brown has allowed him to play basketball more times than I haven't. So I think, you know, you just take care of business at home last night. You feel a little bit more confident about this team and just getting to a certain place. Now, you could talk about being eliminated in the first round or different things like that. The fact is that, like, that's probably what we're talking about no matter what. Mm-hmm. If your wish list was Kyle Kuzma or Jeremy Grant, I think this season we're still talking about the same thing. We're talking about if a team hits their shots, meaning the Sacramento Kings, not their opponents, because their opponents are really good at it. If the Sacramento Kings hit their shots in the playoffs, they could potentially win a first-round series. When the defense ramps up in the second round and moving on, well, then that's a different story, and we'll see what they could do.
We do have a trade. The Milwaukee Bucks are trading Robin Lopez to the Sacramento Kings.
Wow.
Lopez is expected to be waived and become a free agent.
So they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything.
They've done it. The Sacramento Kings have made a move.
They were able to get something in exchange for the basically the corpse of Robin Lopez.
I love good for Slamson that Robin Lopez isn't going to be around, though.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got beef with mascots.
Yes.
I love the idea that Monty McNair is like, fine, you want me to make a move? Hey, let's go get Robin Lopez. Wave him. All right, next. I love that idea.
Yeah, but the problem is it takes 72 hours to wave a player. If you would have done this like a week ago and started making some of these moves a week ago, you could have collected more assets.
So what's the goal here?
Well, the goal today was they got something. They might have got $1 million. They might have got a second round draft pick. They got something in order to take on Robin. Yeah, the Bucks are sending cash in the deal.
Huh.
So Robin Lopez is probably a league minimum player making $2.6 million or $3.8 million, whatever, and you probably get a couple extra $1 million to do this deal, or $1.5 million, and just like, okay, got to at least
million and a half defend the three?
Yeah.
No. It's no dice.
Not with a Kings uniform on.
You know what? I'm intrigued to see what does this team look like the day after the trade deadline, because I think that's going to be a big topic of discussion. Did the
when
Kings,
they play the Denver Nuggets on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, but did the Kings go out here and showcase players down the stretch And then after the deadline's over, is Mike Brown going to mix things up, or is this who it is?
So I'll tell you emphatically, if that's the case, I have a major issue with Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Who I've rode with from day one. The second his name came up as a potential candidate for this job.
Yep.
I don't think that's the case, to be clear. But if it is, I have a big, big problem with Mike Brown.
I also have a big
problem. You're either coaching to win games or you're not.
That's it. And I would have a big problem with the Kings overall. Like, if the trade deadline passes and they're all of a sudden like, oh yeah, hey, I'm actually going to try now on defense. I'm going to do what the coaches want me to do now that I know I'm not getting traded.
Well, I don't think
trust
that.
Yeah. I don't trust that.
I don't think that's a thing. I don't think the trade deadline, the looming trade deadline, I don't think that played a part in what we saw last night. What we saw from the Sacramento Kings was Sacramento Kings basketball in 2023-2024.
That's it.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. Oh no.
They are the picture of inconsistency.
I agree 100%, but I also think that there are players on this roster that may be playing playing more minutes because there's potential trade interest.
I don't believe that. I absolutely refuse to believe that. You're right. We'll find out. But man, my tone will absolutely change if that's the case.
Who do you think?
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I would say this, like, when you are a head coach of a team and you're part of a franchise, and a franchise, if you want to have a working relationship with a general manager, you have to be on the same page. And if a general manager says, hey, I don't think it's going to cost you games, but I need you to play player X over player Y for a handful of games to make sure people out there know. That stuff happens
all the time. You can't sell me on that. I don't believe that it does.
No.
Go ahead, Damian.
You go ahead. James is pissing me off.
I just wonder when I look at the Kings box score from last night. Okay, the trade deadline has passed. Okay. Is Harrison Barnes not playing anymore?
I think all we're really talking about is Davion, right? We can't be talking about anybody else.
And he was arguably their best player last night, second best player.
He was fantastic.
Okay. I'm not going to say he wasn't strong, but no, I think that there are other players that we've seen play over the last week. I mean, Kessler Edwards all of a sudden magically appears and plays.
But that's what. But my issue with all this is that's what Mike does, weird. Yeah.
No,
like I always use the line that Mike Brown is hilarious. He's just going to play Chris Duarte for 2 minutes and a half and then never look at him again. Then he's going to play Kessler Edwards in the second half. Why, James?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Edwards got 9 minutes in a blowout against Cleveland and then 15 in that win over Indiana.
Yeah.
And he played well versus Indiana. Like, am I wrong? Yeah.
Oh, I thought Kessler played well.
And I think that's how Mike coaches sometimes. Sometimes he tries to find a guy, and he'll. I mean, it was clear, when Chris Duarte came in for those 2 minutes, it was like, this isn't it. And, like, it was clear in those 2 minutes, this ain't it. He went to Kessler in the second half, and it was much better.
Yeah, but I'm not going to fault Mike Brown for giving Chris Duarte 2 minutes and then looking at him and going, oh, that's not it.
I'm not either, which is why I don't think he's showcasing players. It's why I don't think this team is showcasing players.
Do we want to just take this up to the trade deadline at noon, or do you want to go right now
you
to make sure you're on for noon?
It's your show.
Well, no, it's going to be your show, though, which is why I'm asking you.
I think we actually have to break before the hour, don't we?
I think so.
Isn't that so? Let's do
probably
that.
Okay.
I think it's the one thing we actually have to do is to get your last break in for the insiders.
A lot of reaction coming up to the trade deadline next on ESPN.
You guys can stay if you want to. We vibing. We talking.
D'Lo and Kenny coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.